Good morning, church. How are the New Year's resolutions going? Obviously quite well, because you're here. That's good. Because you all made that resolution to come here faithfully and regularly to be part of the family, which is a pretty neat thing. One of the troubles we have with resolutions is that sometimes we choose opposite things to have resolutions on. So maybe, you know, you're a good Christian person and you know that your spiritual life could be better. So you will say something like, I'm going to spend more time with God this year. Oh, and I'm going to make more money too. And sometimes those resolutions don't work. You can't do both. Perhaps it's money that's keeping you away from God. So when Jesus was talking about these kind of verses, I think this is what he had in mind. He knew that later on we'd have New Year's resolutions. And he's like, you know what? You can't serve two masters. You will end up loving one and hating the other, or loving that one and hating the other. But when your loyalties are torn, you have to choose. The truth is, none of us can multitask that well. Do you know how humans multitask? We go from one to the other. And we might be able to go back and forth very quickly, but we can't actually do two things at once. We don't have that capability. I know all the women in the room are like, well, I do. You men? No, you can't. No, you're just gifted at going back and forth very quickly. Us men, we're a little slower. So we say we can't multitask. And our Creator knows we can't do these two things at once. We also can't serve two different things at once. And that's what I want to talk about this morning as we prepare to gather around the table. The secret to life is to be sold out to what your calling is. And in this room, we don't all share that same calling. And that's where we get into difficulties sometimes, because we expect people to be just like us. But your life will become meaningful, and I would even say joyful, perhaps even in some circumstances that are not joyful, if you are following your call and are sold out to that. Now, before we get there, I do have a couple of announcements that I really... these are not just activity announcements. These, as your shepherd, I don't take that role lightly. In fact, sometimes I wonder, really, me? But it's a responsible role, and if not me, then who? So, as your shepherd, there are some goals that I have set for us as a congregation this year that I hope that we can help each other with. Starting next week, we're going to have a sermon series, which is not unusual for me in the new year. I like to do that. We're going to go to the book of Daniel. If you've been a Seventh-day Adventist for a long time, you might be going, oh, not again. Because we study that book a lot. It's the book that kind of launched the whole Advent movement. Before there was Seventh-day Adventists, there was this Advent movement, and it was the study of Daniel that kind of launched that. Daniel is the book of the Bible where God says to the author of the book, close this book up. This book is not for now. This book is for later. And that's kind of unique. And we think that there's a very good chance that we are in the later. So it's a good book to study. It's also a fascinating story. And we will do one chapter at a time as we go through. And I hope we really enjoy that. I've never preached from Daniel this way before. I got all the books at the ABC that they have on Daniel, and it's a lot. And I got Daniel Made Simple. Well, Daniel is not a simple book. Right? It isn't. I don't think it was ever meant to be simple. So my goal is not to simplify it, but I am going to try and make it as clear as I can for the year 2015 that we're living in. And I hope that we are blessed by that. If this is a refresher for you, I hope you will learn how to put it into today's language. If this is new for you, you could be in for quite a ride. It could be a lot of fun. You'll notice I did children's story today too. Renee, amongst many of her jobs here at church, has been arranging that. And we're trying to lessen her load just a little bit right now. Boy, it's good to have you in church, Greg. You know that we pray for you every church prayer. You're right there. And to have you then pray for the church is how church works, I think. And I found that a real blessing today. Somebody gave me a great idea of saying, why don't you do the children's story and go through the 28 things that the church officially believes. But do it for kids, because you never really understand it unless you can explain it to a child. So I'm going to start at the last one and work through. My guess is if I didn't tell you I was going to do that, you might not know that I'm doing that. So it's not going to be an indoctrination time. But for some of you, this might be fun information. And for others of you, you might go, huh, well, maybe I believe that after all. And we'll see how we go. So that's what I have in mind coming up for church. And I'd love for you to join me in that. I'm going to try and put as much as I can into that. And I hope that we're all blessed by it. As I've said before, one of the reasons I'm a preacher is because this is how God gets me. Standing up in front of a whole group of people motivates me to study. Grades in school never motivated me to study. But you all talking behind my back, that motivates me to study. I'm going to go to the story of Samson this morning. Because as I wanted to preach, sometimes I go to Scripture and let it air out. Sometimes I have something I want to talk about and I go to Scripture looking for it. And if I wanted to talk about someone in the Bible that had issues with living out his full calling and getting easily distracted, the first person that came to mind was Samson. Now, first of all, he had the best call ever. I mean, Noah got preached for 120 years to a skeptical audience. Samson, I'm going to give you big muscles. I know which one I would choose. I mean, Samson got the deal. Moses, the gift of leadership. He even got a palace. He even managed to kill a guy with his bare hands. But he was no Samson. Samson, excuse me. Samson was the guy in the movies that shows up and fixes everything with one look and one thing. I didn't practice that. I did that on the spur of the moment. But you know those heroes in the movies? That they can just do it all. I've never seen them myself. I've heard people like Jack Bauer. You know, he just shows up and in 24 hours manages to fix a lifetime's worth of stuff. This is Samson. You've got a problem? You know what will fix it? 300 foxes all tied together. And let's set their tails alight in flame. Good idea, but how are we going to do that? That's all right, I got it, it's done already. We're trapped into a city. No big deal. I'll just lift up the gate, put it on my back, and carry it far out of town. This was his calling. I mean, the disciples had such an issue with the idea of Jesus being the Messiah because he came and he wouldn't boot the Romans out. He came and died. That wasn't really what they had in mind. But Samson was the guy that had what everybody had in mind. And he could not live it out. Judges chapter 14 is where the story of Samson himself starts. I am actually got very distracted by Judges 13, so we're going to go there in a minute. But Judges 14, Judges 13 finishes with Samson going, and he's feeling the call of what he should be doing now. Judges 14, and Samson saw a hot woman. And he's gone. His parents go, wouldn't it be better if, you know, someone maybe over here, code for like, a little uglier would be good for you. I don't want ugly. I want Philistine pretty. And then he says, but God's going to work through this. This is God's plan. Oh, the number of times I hear God's name being attached to something we really want to do. And Samson would just get distracted. And that was his story. But in Judges 13, God sends a messenger. We don't know the messenger's name. At this point, we don't even know if it's an angel. God sends a messenger to an unnamed woman living under the authority of the Philistines, but is an Israelite. Now, I'm going to tell you now the story of Judges 13, and you're going to be tempted to think that I'm making some of this up. No, the Bible gets weird on us every now and then. We don't know this woman's name. We know her husband's name, as was the tradition quite often back then. The women were kind of anonymous, and the men sort of had the family name. The husband's name was Manoah, M-A-Noah, M-A-N-O-A-O-H. Really, I got it. I practiced that. Manoah. But God didn't send the messenger to Manoah. He sent the messenger to Mrs. Manoah. We don't know her name, but she's such an integral part of this story. I'm going to name her. I'm going to call her Joan. I don't know why. I just think she needs a name. The messenger comes to Joan, and the messenger says, you don't have any children, you're barren, which is not a subtle way to start a conversation. But I'm here to bring you good news. You're going to have a child, and this is going to be an important child, and God is all over this. So here are three things I want you to get right now, right off the bat. Number one, stop drinking wine right now. No more wine. And Joan thought, oh, but I can still drink beer. So the messenger of the Lord says, also, don't drink any strong drink. You can check up later. It's in the Bible. Maybe not the beer part, but the strong drink part. And then also, don't drink any coffee. No, it doesn't say that. It says, don't eat any unclean foods. Those are the three things. This is what you've got to do. No wine, no strong drink, no unclean foods. Oh, and by the way, don't send a razor to his head. Now, some of us who know the story of Samson know what that means. But if you don't, you might be like, the wrists are better. No, it's like, no, don't cut his hair. You're just going to let it grow and grow and grow. Don't cut his hair. I don't know about, this is getting to be kind of a weird story, right? So Joan goes to Manoah and says, I had the strangest thing happen to me today. A messenger came and said, I was going to have a baby. Well, what do you think Manoah thought? Who is this guy? What's his name? I think I might like to meet him. And Joan goes, no, this was someone from God. And they said that I shouldn't drink wine or strong drink or any unclean food. She leaves out the razor part at that point. And Manoah goes, okay, all right. Manoah was a godly man, and so Manoah did what godly men do. He prayed. He said, God, my wife is saying this thing to me here. Is this from you? If this is from you, we are right here ready to do all of that. He didn't need a lot of convincing. He was one of those that got the call from God, and he was right and ready to do it. But God, could you perhaps give us more information? If we're going to bring up this son for you, could you tell us how to be good parents, how we should be doing that? And the Bible says in Judges 13 that God responded, okay, yeah, I will. Do you know what God did? He waited till Manoah was out in the field, and he came back and saw Joan. Poor Manoah. Manoah, the head of his family, doing what godly good people should do, is benched again. And Joan, the wife, the woman, gets all the God stuff and all the instruction. And so the messenger shows up to Joan. And Joan does what only Joan knows how to do. She goes, oh, I'm glad to see you again. Can you wait right here? And she runs off and gets her husband. And her husband comes back. I love this. And the husband says, what should we do? And the messenger of the Lord says, let me paraphrase for a minute, may I? I've told your wife twice. I'll tell you again. Don't drink any wine. Don't drink any strong drink. And don't eat unclean foods. Just what Joan, his wife, had been told all the way along. Well, Manoah is a good guy, and he's like, okay, we can do that. We can totally do that. Would you stay here for a while and let us prepare a meal for you? And the messenger goes, no. The messenger was an angel. And I think the angel's like, I'm not eating this stuff down here. I'm gonna wait for dinner up in heaven. Way better up there. But if you want to do anything, prepare an altar, a sacrifice to the Lord. So Manoah does that. He brings a goat, he brings the grain, he puts it on a stone. We get the idea that these were not wealthy people at all. Very humble, simple folk that God is talking to here. That don't have offspring, don't have a family, are not any notable person in society. And they create this altar, this sacrifice. And as the flame goes up towards heaven, the messenger of the Lord somehow moves into the flame and moves on up to heaven and disappears. And Manoah goes, whoa! We've just seen God. So we're going to die. And bless Joan, a much more practical, pragmatic thinker, the one that God sent the messenger to. There are reasons for this. Joan goes, no, we're not. He just did all of this and told us to bring up the same. He's not going to kill us now. What we should do is follow what he said. And that's what Mr. and Mrs. Manoah do. They were told from the messenger of the Lord that Samson would have this calling from the womb right up until his death. And if you know the story and know how Samson wandered and got distracted very easily, he never really lived out his calling until the very moment of the end of his life. And at that moment, Samson gave every single thing to that calling. It took him his whole life to get there. But the idea was that that call would be on him, as the Bible says in Judges 13, from the womb to the very end of his life. And so today, with that story in mind, I come and ask you a simple question. What is your womb to the end of your life thing? What is it that you have been placed on this earth to do and to be? What is your thing. Your womb until the grave thing. And might you consider looking to God for the answer to that question? And might you consider what it would be like if you were to give your whole entire life over to the will and the purpose of your God? It will change you. And if we all did it together, it would change this church. It will give you meaning for life. It will mean you're going to have to let some of the distractions go, for we are told we cannot serve two masters. The secret to life is not in diversifying. The secret to life is a 100% commitment and surrender to the Creator who made you, and when you lost your way, died, that He might be able to receive you back into His family. What is your womb to grave thing? And if somebody else is given the call, and you think it should have been you, might you be able to hear what God is saying and using and doing in your life, in the life of your family, your community, and your church?